This is Janet Coburn, Secretary of PNB. The public meeting is convening on June 14th, 2015. It's 11:15-ish Pacific time. And I am about to call the roll. Alan, KPFT.
Okay, present.
Alan, present. Excuse me? Argueta, KPFK.
Presente.
Argueta, present. Burden, WBAI.
Present.
Burden, present. Brazan, KPFK.
Here.
Brazan, present. Jim Brown, WPFW. Steve Brown, WBAI.
Here.
Steve Brown, present. Casnave, KPFT.
Here.
Casnave, present. Coleman, WBAI.
Present.
Coleman, present. Diaz, WPFW. Diaz, present. Edwards Tiekert, KPFA.
Here.
Edwards Tiekert, present. Fuentes, KPFA.
Present.
Fuentes, present. Coburn, KPFA, present. Mark, KPFT.
Present.
Mark, present. Medina, KPFK.
Present.
Medina, present. Norman, WPFW.
You just stepped out, you did.
Rabin, WVQR.
Yeah.
Rabin, present. Ryder, KPFT.
Here.
Ryder, present. Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Roberts, present. Tucker, WPFW.
Present.
Tucker, present. Wilkinson, KPFA.
Present.
Wilkinson, present. Madam Chair, John Prophet, ED.
Present.
John Prophet, present. And John Gary is present as recording secretary. Madam Chair, we have quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the open session of the Pacifica National Board meeting in Los Angeles, and we are about to hear from our National Election Supervisor. John, has she dialed in? We are going to have her join us by Skype. Okay. So we can review a couple of things on the agenda for everyone to be privy to. As soon as our National Election Supervisor, Joy Williams, completes her report, and we will have a question and answer portion to that by board, and then some public comment if they have any questions briefly. And then we will have a report from the chair of the Elections Committee of the Pacifica National Board. Bob Letter will follow immediately after Ms. Williams. And John, has she Skyped in? I just called her.
I have a motion.
She hasn't called in.
Okay. Okay, so we're engaged in some getting our specifics together on the technical aspect of this. And the open session for all concerned will go until 5, no later than 5:30, but I would say probably around 5:15. And then tomorrow is going to be an executive session. We will have some public comment after this elections item, Madam Secretary.
Yes.
Oh, there she is. Sorry, is it urgent?
Well, I want to add.
Better be live and
direct. Did you say hello to her, please?
No. Hello. Okay. Thank you. It'll.
Hi.
Okay. Okay. Yes, Joy, is that you?
Okay. Yes, that's me.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you so much for bearing with us on. And rescheduling your life to join us this morning, or our morning, your afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you. So we will have you give us a report, and then the board members will may or may not have some questions for you, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Joy. Go ahead.
Sure. So, good morning, I guess, to those of you. It's afternoon here, in Brooklyn. I want to, thank you for inviting me to talk a little bit about, where we are in the process for the 2015 election process. And I have a few, points I will hit, and then, obviously I want to leave as much time as possible should you have any questions, and I'll be happy to answer them, as long as they are within my purview. So the first is, I'm sure by now you've seen already the elections calendar, which has been distributed at this time. The important thing to note immediately is that candidate nomination period officially begins tomorrow, and the candidate nominations close on July 14th. I'll talk a bit about the candidates in a bit later. The official voter date of record, this will be July 14th. This is the date by midnight July 14th that all folks must be a member of Pacifica in order to participate in the election process. The ballots will be mailed, and the voting officially begins on August 29th, and the voting ends, and the ballot return deadline will be October 22nd. Now, of course, according to your bylaws, this is, of course, providing that all stations meet quorum, the necessary quorum. And as you know, the bylaws then give instructions to me to extend for up to 4 weeks for any station who has not met quorum at that time. So if the elections close officially on October 22nd, that means that we will have the ballot count and an election certification and sort of have all of the results by November 6th. So that is the calendar that we are operating on, and thus far we are moving forward with the schedule. So that leaves our schedule there. Before I talk a bit about local election supervisors, the online voting process, I wanted to talk briefly about something that's coming up tomorrow, and that would be the official beginning of the candidate nomination period. I'm actually in the office now, and will be in the office for the remainder of the evening, finalizing all of the details to have the candidate nomination packets and information together for each of the stations, so that beginning tomorrow morning, for those who are interested in running for the positions, they'll be able to register and download the candidate nominations packet. And for those who have difficulty accessing the information online or do not have regular access, there will also be a phone number to call to request that information via mail. So that's what I'm in the office finalizing today, as well as we'll have the cards and information for all of the stations to run throughout the candidate nomination period so that we have a good crop of candidates, which I'm sure Pacifica is there is no dearth for that of candidates running for the available positions. With the local election supervisors, you may have noticed that in the past, the LES would already be in place at this time. It was my recommendation, and that was presented already, that to save Pacifica cost, which we would reduce the amount of time that the local election supervisor would be on. So they will be starting July 1st would be the target start date. And so far with the process, we're moving along towards that. You may have seen already the detailed job description, and also recently this week I extended the application deadline into the 19th of this month. I have been conducting interviews for the past 3 weeks, and for the first crop of candidates that I received, already in the process of reviewing references that were submitted to make my final recommendations on each of the the positions to the executive director of Pacifica, but we are still on track to meet the July 1st deadline, and we do have a whole nother new crop of candidates for the LES positions that I'm interviewing all this week, but the deadline has been extended, so if any of you know someone who is particularly interested in serving in that capacity, please have them apply as soon as possible so we can get their interview done and they can go through the process. So the local election supervisor will start in the middle of the candidate nomination period, and then they will immediately help in certifying not only the candidates and ensuring that all of their information was submitted properly, all of their petition signatures and their own membership is valid from there, but then we would also immediately work on the next piece that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is on the actual voting list. So certainly reading past election reports from all of the LESs and the NESs, that is the most difficult, one of the most difficult aspects of the election is making sure that those who are eligible to vote in the process, they actually are among the voter rolls, considering the various ways that each of the stations not only maintain their regular membership list, but also, as you know, the bylaws extend volunteer membership for volunteers as well, so maintaining that information. So one of the things I'm doing that you should see in the next week or two is issuing a detailed memo, just clarifying the requirements for membership in Pacifica, and then outlining specifically is a question that I asked each of the station managers of how volunteer information is maintained, not only for listener members, but also unpaid staff and volunteers at each of the stations. So that is a very clear information to help us should any disputes come up as we go through the process in terms of someone's voter eligibility. In addition, I will be doing a programmers or host guide that will have detailed information based upon past reports to help those hosts and the program managers to ensure that they're following the fair election procedures throughout the process. And as well as hold a couple of conference calls should any hosts or any other folks have any information or questions regarding the election process as we go on. And lastly, as you know, which has been presented already, that this will be the first election process that Pacifica finally uses online voting for this process. So there will be some new information introduced in this process and people opting in to completely vote online and save Pacifica some money in terms of the mailing. As you know, by default, every eligible voter will receive the information in the mail, but we want to get folks into the practice of using this medium in the hopes that in the future it would help save Pacifica money in conducting the online elections process. So I'm sure you have lots of questions, and again, I will do my best to answer them, and if I feel that they are not something that I can answer, I will say so. But thank you again for choosing me to serve in this capacity.
Okay, thank you very much. So we have on the stack, and if the members can remember to speak into the microphone, that would be helpful. We are streaming, yes, Adriana, Benito, Janet Kay, and George, and John Prophet. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. This is Adriana Casnave, KPFT Houston. I want to know the status of the list of volunteers and staff, because in past elections, that was a really contentious issue. And this board, more than once, passed a resolution. I mean, it's an obligation. They should be done. But it wasn't done to clean those lists Do we have those lists for every station, or we do not have it yet? I want to be sure if it's any, which are the stations that already present the clean list to you, and which ones did not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And as I mentioned, you know, in the reporting, I know from past election reports that certainly the voter list has again been a arduous and contentious process. And so I'm doing everything that I can to guide each of the stations through the process in terms of getting a clean and verifiable list. And it's a process that I started, you know, just about a month and a half, 2 months ago. So at this current time, I do not have a list from each of the stations because it has not been the staff list has not been officially requested yet. So the date of record, as I mentioned previously, is July 14th. Leading up to that, I am, you know, asking each of the stations to provide information in terms of how they maintain lists, particularly the staff, unpaid staff, and volunteer lists, because there is no uniform way in which stations maintain those lists, at least from reading and past reports. So trying to get clarity on how each station maintains that list. And then, like I said, I'm producing a written piece that will outline, here is what the bylaws say, verify someone as a member in the different categories, and here is how each station maintains those lists. So that would allow us to help alleviate or at least help make decisions as people may have disputes on their eligibility.
Benito?
Yeah, Benito from, where am I from? PFW in D.C. Okay, so number one, you stated that you hope to have all the LESs in place on July 1st. So I guess my question is, you know, folks always need, are accustomed to having assistance in terms of filling out their nomination forms, getting the required signatures, all that kind of stuff, and a lot of which would occur during that first 2-week period. So do you have any ideas or on how that could still occur, number one? Number two, The same thing about the membership list. I don't know about anybody else or any other station. I've said this a million times, not to you, but to the folks present here. At least at PFW, we are used to having something where if I'm a programmer, I'm not a programmer, but if I was a programmer, let Jim over here, since he's a programmer and he's also, pays his membership dues as a listener, he ends up getting 2 ballots. So how do we deal with that? Okay, if there's a chance, I have a third question.
Okay, so I'm going to answer your second question first. So part of the process in cleaning the voter list is to make sure to remove staff from listener lists and vice versa. So that is a process that both myself and the local election supervisors will be working on in order to clean lists. To your first question about providing assistance to those candidates who may need it during the initial first 2 weeks of the candidate nomination period. Again, I'll be serving in that capacity until the local election supervisor is put in place. And one of the first directives to the local election supervisors will be to have at station hours necessary Gary to help those who may need help in person. You know, there'll be a phone number for any help that they need going on. In order to register as a candidate, we have your information. So the candidates will receive periodic emails to confirm, you know, are you having any trouble? Do you have any questions in going through that process? So that's the answer that I have for your first question.
Can I clarify?
No. Wait for the second round, okay?
Janet
K. Janet K.
Yes, thank you, Joy. So I have two questions. One, I'm not sure if you addressed this, but the PSA announcements or the that are playing, at least at KPFA, talk about 12 candidates, yet at KPFK it's 24. This is for the LES. So at KPFK, though, there are 24 candidates. So is that announcement accurate for that station? That's one question. The other question has to do with, okay, so the 12 candidates or the 12 seats that are up are associated at the other stations with a 2010 election, those seats. So however, there are at the other stations some delegates who are associated with 2012, and I know WPFW is a little different because I won't go into detail, but in any case, there are some delegates who would not be part of that 12 who will term out in December 2015, and I'd like to know how their seats will be filled. Will they be filled by the first runner-up or the runners-up from this 2015 election, and what would their term length be?
Point of order. Time. No, it's not. It's her question, so it's not a point of order. We're not making any motions or anything right now. Thank you.
What happened? We lost her.
Is she still on?
Joy, are you there?
I'm still here. I thought somebody was given a point of or clarity or something.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. You can, if you understood the question, if you can answer it.
Sure. So as I understand the question, so first, yes, I'm aware, in the differences at one of the stations. And so, we will work to make sure that the cards, particularly if they're playing at particular stations, are accurate for that station. I'm going to just make a note of that now. In terms of, I believe either you're discussing it today or have previously discussed in terms of the terms, or a resolution has already passed, and maybe someone can provide clarity on that who's more familiar on the board in terms of what's reported to me is just how many vacancies there are in order for me to facilitate the election. How people are seated, information that would come from the board. So someone from the board would have to clarify that for you.
Okay, thank you. So the next person is George.
This is George Ryder, KPFT. I'm delighted that we're going to be moving towards electronic voting. And I would like the process of opting out to be as broadly used as possible. What is the process, and what's being done to sort of encourage people to use it?
That's a fantastic question. I'm so glad you asked that. So one of the other things that goes live tomorrow, and there'll be a cart that to specifically address this, is regarding the online option and asking people to sign up to opt out of receiving the information by mail. So you could you can sign up online on the election website beginning tomorrow to opt out of receiving the paper, and during the process leading up, once you sign up, After the date of record, your information will be matched against your particular station's information. You'll then get an email confirming your eligibility to vote at that time. And then during or just 2 weeks before the election actually opens, you'll get another email again just confirming that, yes, I would like to vote in vote online, and I opt out of receiving the paper just to confirm in case somebody wants to change their mind. And then when the voting actually begins, you'll then get an email with the voting information for you to actually cast your vote, and you'll get periodic email reminders, links to download or view all of the candidate statements, all which will be online. And so you'll receive these periodic reminders until you actually cast your ballot. And then once you cast your ballot online, you'll then receive an email with a receipt number and that your vote was successfully recorded and go from there. So it's our hope that throughout this process, we can get more folks to sort of opt out of that process to reduce the overall cost of the election, which is mainly in printing and postage.
Thank you.
John Prophet.
Very, very quickly, Joy, I want to second what Professor Ryder said earlier about the congratulating you for moving towards, helping us move towards electronic balloting, and I urge that to be a high priority just to save time, money, and get the accuracy improved of our elections. A second follow-on to that is that at some point, and an undefined point in the future, I would really like to see the election process move to where the electronic vote is the default option, and that people who opt out of electronic voting can then get a ballot.
Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Joy, go ahead.
Yes, so I totally agree, and was the first recommendation that I had upon coming on as National Election Supervisor, and certainly that will be something that has to be changed at the board level, but I definitely think that the process, you know, and I think overall that having an online option would actually increase turnout and participation. I'm looking forward to, and I'm very proud to be part of this first introduction during this process.
Okay. We have Rodrigo. Rodrigo?
Two questions. This is Rodrigo from KPFK Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
One is, given the fact that in many of the list of the staff pay and pay are really outdated, you know, what are you doing, you know, like what are the, you know, concrete steps that you're taking towards, you know, fixing that situation?
Mm-hmm.
And second, it's and how many of the radio signals are we going to be having bilingual cards, you know, as well as documents that are in Spanish and English, so as to provide a large population that now are becoming members of the foundation? Thank you.
Yes, two very important questions. Thank you. And I share everyone's concern about the accuracy of the voter list, and, you know, assure you that, as you'll see in my updates, is something I'm consistently requesting information from the station managers in order to at least have transparency in terms of how the information is maintained. We are better armed to address disputes should they come up. And secondly, to also shine a light and sort of help the board and the members understand how each of the stations are maintaining information. So should there be any recommendation for streamlining the process that would be helpful in the future, that you can do so. So that's something I'm very concerned about in determining and verifying voter eligibility across all categories. The second piece in regards to having Spanish language, that's something I'm particularly paying close attention to. One, the online voter, online voting vendor that I'm going to recommend. I haven't quite got to that point as of yet, but you have to have a final conversation with the executive director. But at this time, it does offer full translation and at no additional cost. So I'm very pleased with that. And then I have been putting a call out for volunteers to assist with translating materials from, be it from the website, the FAQs, the basic information. And already some board members have translated, you know, some of my reports into Spanish. And so we have that information in terms of whatever station or station area needs that. So that's something I'm particularly paying close attention to. And it's a question in terms of bonus skills that I'm looking for LESs in particular station areas as well.
Thank you.
So the stack, so people know I'm taking people who have not had a chance to speak first, and then the second rounders will come thereafter. It's Teresa. Carolyn, Jim, myself, and then Serene.
I hope that when we send out these emails, this is Teresa Allen, and I'm with KPFT in Houston. I hope that we send out these emails that we make some sort of disclaimer at the bottom. We're not responsible if you change your email address, because as you get emails back, is it our responsibility to follow up on that somehow so those people get an email to vote? I agree so much, and I'm probably the one that brought it up with John Prophet's statement that where the electronic vote is the default option, we should have done that from the very beginning, because it should have, the real opt-out would have been we sent a postcard out and it said, if you want these extensive paper descriptions of the candidates, then just call this number and we'll send it out. As it is, we're sending out, you know, thousands of very heavy descriptions of candidates. And so, and they're, the way we have it structured, they're entitled to that. So, you know, if people postpone going the electronic option, you know, if they just time flies, then we're not going to have that much participation, because somehow they have to be proactive and request for that electronic option. I've seen with Sierra Club and other organizations the immediate option for voting electronically, and I hope that in your report you will provide us with some suggestions as to how we can better implement it in the next election. Thank you.
Thank you.
Orders of the day, Madam Chair.
Pardon?
We've reached the time limit on the election supervisor presentation.
We still have 2.5 minutes.
Yes, Carolyn. Okay, is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, a vote, please.
Can we raise?
Okay, we can. Okay, let's just raise our hand since we have her on the call. Okay, all those in favor of extending for 10 minutes?
All right, keep your hands up, please.
All those opposed?
Four. And abstain. One.
Okay. Carolyn is next. Jim, Serene, and then we'll go to the second round. Oh, myself and the second rounders.
Okay, thank you, Joy. This is Carolyn Burden from WBAI. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One is the company that I had recommended, which I don't think the committee advised, recommended anyway, is one that has been used by my school for very complex elections. And they always offer, at the end of the voting process, an on-screen ballot, which I have the option of printing out, and I can't leave the screen until I've printed it out or saved it. So as you look at the company that you're working with, I wonder if you could ask them if we could have that option so that people could have a physical copy of their own ballots. Second point is the lists. We found that the cleaning that the post office does is cursory. It's not final. And Lester Radke in his report details why and how he needed to do a manual cleaning of the lists at KPFA. The list at KPFA, the year that he was national supervisor, was cleaned by hand. Took a 2 or 3 day period to remove the kind of duplicates that the machines will not pick up. And I'm hoping that you can look at that and consider it and maybe implement that in every single station, because the integrity of the lists is really the key to these elections being well done and not leading to litigation afterwards. So I'm sure you've seen all the reports, including Les's, but the manual cleaning of the list, I hope you can implement that. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim? Jim? Brian? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Joy. Sorry.
No problem. So, yes, again, I share your concern about the voter list in terms of what you term as manual. There will be a process both myself and the LESs will be conducting that. I'm putting protocols in order for now in order to do that, to get our to address the voter list. To your first point about the online confirmation, actually the vendor that I'm going to recommend does a voter verified audit trail. So you not only do the on-screen, which you can print, you get a receipt number that you can later check against. And I believe there's a mention in the bylaws, someone can correct me, that the secretary must keep copies of the ballots as well. So there will be a way to do an audit or a recount if necessary. And so you not only can print out your ballot to confirm your vote, but then you also have a receipt number that it can later be looked up against as well.
Thank you. Jim?
Jim Brown, WPFW. I'm also on the election committee. This is something that you may have discussed already this morning, but I'm not sure. If you have, then I apologize. And that is for elderly people who are not computer savvy, mm-hmm. who we would like to bring to that point, are you offering anything through the mail that drives them to the computer at a later date?
Well, you know, the default for the election process will be the mailing of the ballot and information. So when the ballot is mailed out, so say, you know, a person, you know, has not visited the website and did the online sign up or anything like that, they'll by default for this election process get a ballot and information in the mail. Now, that it will say on there also, you can complete this process online by visiting this website and doing it, you know, here to encourage them to do it, you know, to still do it during that time. However, you know, so that information will be provided. So the default is people are getting, every voter is getting a mail with a ballot in the, like, every voter is getting that unless you specifically say, I do not want that and I'm going to vote online.
Okay. And this is Lydia Berzon at KPFK. I have three questions, actually. The application when they want to apply to be a candidate, in the past we've had issues because a lot of people just want to look at it. They're not necessarily enrolling, and so then when you look at a particular station, there might be 100, and you think you have 100 applicants when you have 5. So is there some way to have just a sample application for people who are just curious to see if they want to apply? That's one. The other is when you don't receive a ballot, is there going to be a more efficient way of receiving a replacement ballot? How does that happen? And is there possibility of having a tutorial, a balloting tutorial that is on the websites. Thank you.
Very, very good questions. So the first question about people registering and if they just want to view the application, but that's fine. You know, you basically anyone who is going to register to be a candidate, or you are that curious that you just actually want to see the materials. Everyone, you know, enters the information before, you know, getting over to look at it or to download it. Now that'll be matched up. Now the reason why I'm doing that is collecting that information, those emails, so that the candidates also get information emailed to them throughout the process. That was a question that was mentioned earlier. So you may get an email that says, you know, remember, you know, you need these many signatures, and have you got your signatures yet? Do you have any questions? Here's some, you know, the five questions that candidates ask, you know, it's sort of giving people information and help throughout the process. And then as the deadline approaches, you know, saying, you know, remember the deadline is this date, make sure to get your information in by then. And, you know, when the LESs are in place as well, they will also set up times at the station for additional help. So then they'll get emailed and say, if you need additional help, the LES will be at the station at this particular time to help you call, you know. So it's to provide information and encouragement and help throughout the process. So, you know, if someone registers and it's just because they wanted to look at the application, that's fine. Anybody can then, you know, opt out after that. So your next question was about disputes over receiving a ballot. There will also be a process that you can either call a number or go online and say, you know, I have not received a ballot or any information, or if you have any problems. And then we'll have each LES will have access to the final voter list, as well as I will be able to address that information immediately. And, you know, one, the benefit of having an online option is if someone registers online and says, I didn't receive the ballot, well, we can send them an email. We check and verify that they didn't vote using, you know, using their information online previously, and say, here's information in your login to actually go and vote online now, instead of waiting for the mail in order for you to receive that ballot. But should a person not have online access, they can also call a number and or contact the LES directly for that particular station in order to get one mailed to them or from there. So we'll have several different options for people to address any disputes about receiving a ballot at that time. And am I missing a response
tutorial
to a question you
have? Tutorial on the websites.
Oh, yes. There will be tutorials. There will be YouTube videos, and I'm sure, you know, we'll do the process. The LESs will be, you know, on shows or do PSAs and information as well.
Okay. Thank you. We have two and a half minutes left on the item. Does anyone wish to extend? We have on the stack right now John. Oh, not John?
Yes.
Yes, John, Serene, Janet K. For the first round.
So, sir, can I?
Yes.
So, of the people who haven't spoken before, we have Serene as the last person. Then, for the second round, we have Benito, Adriana, John Prophet, and Janet Coburn.
Okay, in order to add anyone from this point on, since we only have 2 minutes, does someone wish to extend? Benito?
10 minutes.
Okay, is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor of extending for 10 minutes? Okay, so it fails. You have 2 minutes. Who's next?
Serene.
Hi, John.
Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the opposed. Okay. Okay. Oh, yes, I know. I know. Yes. Okay. Those opposed to extending? Okay, thank you. Serene.
So I have 2.5 minutes, right?
Two.
Is it two?
90 seconds.
That's not fair. I shouldn't lose the time because of voting.
Yeah, you're losing
it. Okay, thanks for all the commentary, folks. Thank you so much. I was speaking to the chair. Hi, Joy. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, first of all, for your attitude and your professionalism. And for your patience on the elections committee calls. And I'm grateful that you're moving towards the online voting because I think it will save costs. But I'm also very grateful that we have retained the paper option as the default because there's still a digital divide that folks don't seem to understand. There are communities that are very big on social media, but it doesn't mean that they do everything online in the way that some people who seem to be connected 24/7, and as a person who has frequent but not constant access, I'm very grateful to know that paper is still in fashion, at least at Pacifica. I wanted to ask I wanted to ask you to be more forceful, pushy, and demanding when it comes to getting the carts played, because I know that I've not heard carts. There were carts that you had told us in committee that you prepared and sent to AudioPort maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I have not heard any in New York. I'm not saying they've not been played. I'm saying I haven't heard any. There were folks here in L.A. saying they haven't heard it. There are folks in D.C. who told me that they had not heard it. So if you could be really pushy, and I will prod our ED to prod his GMs to get it on the air, because I think it doesn't matter how great the process is, if folks don't realize they have the opportunity.
Your time. Go ahead.
If folks don't realize they have the opportunity, you know, as great as all the efforts you're planning, you know, the YouTube and the whole thing, it's not going to go very far. So please be pushy. Oh,
yes. I thank you, and I will be more pushy. But, you know, the information I don't know is if providing that, you know, me trying to listen to the stations myself, I do not know the process that exists at each of the stations in order to – is there any record or anything of when the carts were played and how often. And so that's information I do not have. So I will say that if any board members are in the station area and, you know, when you hear the carts or when you don't hear them or you say you don't hear them frequently enough, my email address is nes@pacifica.org. Tell me so. And then I will then, you know, follow up and CC the ED and ask a station manager, ask a programmer, you know, has this information, you know, been played? What else do you need, like, in order to – so, you know, the more information I receive and I know – and some of you send lovely – very long, detailed emails that do not have a question or a comment, and I appreciate those as well. So just send an email to me and let me know, and then I can decipher from the information how else I can proceed in order to get the information played, because obviously I'm not at every station. It is impossible for me to listen to every station at all times. So please communicate that information, and I will then be able to follow up more appropriately that way.
Thank you. Okay, we're at time for this item. Thank you so much, Joy, for interrupting your Sunday unexpectedly.
No
okay,
problem.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so the our next item, first of all, we're at time for this agenda item, but we have a report from the Elections Committee. Does anybody want
order.
To move to extend?
Order.
Yes.
We have a time certain, 12 noon lunch.
I know, but that's why I am announcing that we're at time for this item. We have a lunch we have still from, as you know, plenty in there. It's heating up. It'll keep. And or we can, like as whatever. Anyway, the board needs to decide. I would recommend this is
I have a point.
I heard you.
So we had on the agenda a 30-minute item for a report from the Elections Committee. So the question to the board is, number one, do we want to postpone lunch So the chair of the Elections Committee cannot meet with us after right now, actually. And 2 o'clock is too late. So if we want to hear from him and deal with the motions having to do with the elections that we've been waiting for 3 years to have, I want to see what the will of the body is.
Move to extend time for 30 minutes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've had my hand
and
up.
Go ahead.
Janet, so why is he speaking?
Serene.
Motion to extend for 30 minutes. But there's a process.
There are a lot of processes.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to just shout out because he's closer to you. You get to put up your hand like everybody else.
And Janet had her hand up.
All right. Okay. And then we had a point of order from Janet. That was a motion, and I assume George will second it then,
yes.
If I take her point of order. George is seconding it.
Well, before we decide which agenda item, the orders of the day call for roll call timekeepers, which we did, adjustments to agenda, and I wanted to address that. So
okay.
Point of order. Okay. We have to have a motion to extend time before any of that's in order.
Yes, exactly. And I will oppose yours. Okay. So is there any opposition to extending for 30 minutes, which simply delays our lunch? Is there any opposition to that? Is there, Teresa?
Parliamentary
just this,
inquiry.
Okay? Yes.
We're following the sequence from the agenda yesterday?
Not necessarily. No, because as was just pointed out, there will be adjustments to the agenda. Okay, so right now we just have to get...
If we extend, what are we extending for? The next item on the agenda from yesterday is a discussion of on-air policies and free speech.
No, right now we are extending for 30 minutes, and then we will go to lunch. And then we will right now this is the Elections Committee for 30 minutes. That's what's on the table. And then we break for lunch, and then we reconvene, adjust the agenda, et cetera, everything that we were supposed to do at the top of this item. We're constrained by people's availability that are Skyping in. Mike, is there any opposition? Okay, hearing no opposition. Michael, can you call Bob to Skype in, please? You got it? He's on? Okay, let's go. Right before. Okay, so we're still in session. Bob, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. You want to give us your report, please?
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me, and welcome to all the members of the Pacific National Board. I'm the chair of the PNB Elections Committee, and we have two motions that we adopt.
You're not as clear as Joy was for some reason. Are you on an odd connection or...
Yeah, I'm on Skype with the earphones, which is what I was advised by the technical folks would be the clearest way.
Can he use a landline?
No. John. Okay, but I'm saying, is there an option to earphones?
Okay, so John is recommending you call in on a regular phone. To what? The same number? To the same Skype number.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, we'll have the receiver.
And then we have public comment on this item also.
Chair. Elections Committee Chair.
Bob Leder.
PNB Elections Committee Chair.
L-E-D-E-R-E-R.
No, he'll be right in.
No, he's just going to dial right in, yeah.
So 30 minutes and